Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
This is P.K. Subban of the Nashville Predators.
This is Philip Forsberg of the Nashville Predators.
Hi, this is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville.
Now, broadcasting live from high atop the WNSR Broadcasting Tower. And against all better judgment, it's time for Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all-skate around the NHL with all the news and updates you need.
Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
And now, here's your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saulnier.
Everybody, it's time for another episode of Predneck Nation Radio. That's right, it's a Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saulnier, and Renegades, I need each and every one of you in the trench because it's a game day in Smashville. Your Nashville Predators return home from a quick two-game road trip for a tune-up week. Tonight against the LA Kings, Saturday versus the Colorado Avalanche, and Monday against the Edmonton Oilers before heading off on a three-game road trip of significance against Central Division competition at St. Louis, at Winnipeg, and at Minnesota. Currently, the Nashville Predators, with 20 games remaining in the regular season, that means they've played 62 games, are 35-22-5. That's good for 75 points, 1 point behind the Winnipeg Jets for first place in the Central. And on home ice this season, the Predators are 19-11-1. That's right, a chance to go for their 20th win on home ice this season against the LA Kings, who are last place in the Pacific Division and who are the worst team in the Western Conference. The LA Kings have played 59 games this season. They are 23-30-6, 52 points. That is 30th overall in the NHL. Away from home ice, they are 11-15-4. They've given up 182 goals on the season. They have a goal differential of minus 39, and they have lost 5 games in a row. Do not take this team lightly. As yesterday, the Winnipeg Jets learned you cannot take a team near the bottom of the standings lightly, as they were defeated by the Colorado Avalanche 7-1, setting up a scenario where the Nashville Predators tonight on home ice can reclaim first place in the Central Division. The season series between these two teams playing tonight, this is the second regular season meeting. It was all the way back on November the 17th, the first time they played. The Preds defeated the Kings 5-3. Kelly Yarncroke had 3 goals in that game. Kyle Turris had a goal. Ryan Ellis had 2 assists, and Pekka Rinne was 25 out of 28. We'll see these two teams play one more time this season on the 14th of March when the Preds head on out to Los Angeles. NHL ranks, Nashville Predators still have the 31st ranked power play in the NHL, 13th on the penalty kill, 13th in goals for, 3.06, and goals against, they are 4th at 2.61. Craig Smith listed as day-to-day. He missed the last game, took the pregame skate, but then was a last-minute scratch heading into the game in Dallas. This LA Kings team, they are ranked 29th in the league in the power play, so two very bad power plays on the ice side of Bridgestone Arena. Their penalty kill is 30th. Their goals for is 30th at 2.39. Their goals against 16th, 3.05. No matter what metric you look at, the LA Kings are one of the worst teams in the NHL. That's why they underwent a coaching change early in the season, and that's why they have continued to be in last place all season long. The last 5 games alone, they've lost all 5 of them. On the 9th of February, a 5-4 overtime loss at Boston. Then it was a 6-4 loss at Washington. On the 14th, it was a 4-3 shootout loss versus Vancouver. Then on the 16th, a 4-2 loss versus Boston. Then the 18th, a 3-2 loss versus Washington. They'll play again on Saturday at Florida. Injury problems. Alec Martinez is listed as day-to-day. Sean Walker also listed as day-to-day. So some injuries on the defensive side for the LA Kings. And Jonathan Quick also listed as day-to-day. He has had an illness recently. In the Central Division, it's a light night overall. Minnesota's at the New York Rangers. St. Louis is in Dallas to take on the Stars. And the two games that the Winnipeg Jets have played fewer than the Nashville Predators, well, they will make up one more of those games. Friday, they are in Vegas. So last night, a 7-1 loss in Colorado, setting up the scenario where the Preds can take over first place tonight in the Central Division. That will make hands going up that much more spectacular and fun tonight after the Nashville Predators defeat the LA Kings. Statistically, the LA Kings are led by Anze Kopitar, 17 goals and 27 assists on the season in 58 games played. That's good for 44 points, and he is typically very dangerous against the Nashville Predators. Does have 12 power play assists on the season, so even though they have one of the worst power plays in the league, you must respect Anze Kopitar. Dustin Brown has 12 goals and 21 assists for 33 points. Drew Doughty is at 33 points. Kovalchuk, not the revolutionary signing that they thought it was going to be, only 13 goals on the season and 28 points. In net, it's been a bit of a mess all season long, as, of course, you would expect. Jonathan Quick, typically very good numbers this season, not at all. 11, 14, and 5, a 3.09 goals against average, an 8.99 save percentage, and injured with an illness as of late. And then Jack Campbell also on the roster, Cal Peterson, and Peter Budaj has been a part of the goaltending situation out there in Los Angeles. Of course, Ryan Johansson has led the Nashville Predators in scoring for quite some time this season, 60 games played. He's got 11 goals and 42 assists. That's good for 53 points, but Roman Josi has closed the gap quickly. Now 36 assists on the season, 13 goals. That's good for 49 points overall. Matthias Ekholm at 41 points. Philip Forsberg has 21 goals. Arvidsson at 26. Kevin Fiala with 10 goals. Smith with 16. Bonino 14. Sissons, Yarncroak, and Hartman all with 10 apiece. Pekka Rinne after the game against the Dallas Stars, 42 games played in the season, 21-15-3. A 2.48 goals against average and a 9.16 save percentage. That's three shutouts on the season. Juuse Saros now 14-7-2, a 2.70, and a 9.12 with two shutouts. We go back and we check the second of two games on this quick road trip for the Nashville Predators. The first one, a very forgettable and disappointing night in Las Vegas. This one, an opportunity to close out the season series strong against the Dallas Stars. Third time these two teams would meet in the month of February. We had some line jumbles to go into this game. Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson finding out that Smith was going to be out of the lineup after pre-game skate also meant some switch-ups on the second line. Fiala, Turris, and Sissons. Then you had Hartman, Bonino, and Gaudreau. Boyle, Yarncroak, and Grimaldi. Josi, Ellis, Ekholm, Subban, Ham, Hughes, Weber, and Pekka Rinne gets the start. We get into the game just 1-0-1 into the first period. Radulov leads a 3-on-2 rush for the Dallas Stars. Ellis does just enough, breaking up the pass and disrupting the Stars' odd man rush. 1:31, Grimaldi gets a shot from the slot. It is stopped by Udobin at 2:25. Nichushkin's shot through traffic is stopped by Pekka Rinne at 8:03. Rinne has to come up with a big save on Pollock, but then Pollock on the same shift going to the box, 2 minutes for tripping, officially at 8:43. The Dallas Stars able to generate a shorthanded rush with Foxa getting a shot, and it goes just wide along the ice far side. It got through Pekka Rinne, but it was not accurate, so the Nashville Predators survive a shorthanded scoring opportunity, do not generate any offense at all on their power play. Just after the power play, 10:50, Brian Boyle gets the Preds on the board, gives him a 1-0 lead with his 15th of the season. Boyle absolutely crushes Sagan behind Pekka Rinne in the D zone along the wall, and then he gets that battleship going, full length of the ice, jam on Josi's rebound, puts the puck in the net. Absolutely inspiring moment out there to see Brian Boyle that physical in the D zone and then hustle all the way down the ice, go to the net hard, and get that goal for the Nashville Predators. That's the type of effort you need out of each and every player out there, each and every shift. Nashville Predators with a 1-0 lead on the road, and excellent to see the Preds picking up a goal in the first period and having a lead in the first period. 12:50, Pekka Rinne makes a save on Spezza from a sharp angle. This puck got a little leaky, but Pekka was able to keep it out of there. 14:07, Rinne save on Klingberg. He makes this one with the mask. 14:45, Forsberg shot is blocked to Johansson for a great chance on top
top of the crease. Stop by Hudobin, and the teams are trading scoring chances here in the first period. 17-39, Boyle's going to the box. 2 minutes for holding. Pekarinen has to come up with a huge save on Heiskanen, and then another save on Radulov, and the Dallas Stars are able to put up a lot of pressure and five shots on goal before the end of this power play. We head to the end of the first period with Dallas having the better high danger scoring chances and 13 shots on goal, but the Predators converting and having a 1-0 lead and 15 shots on goal. Into the second period, 2:20. Forsberg shot is stopped by Hudobin at 3:09. Pekarinen makes a save on Dickinson at 3:31. Dallas responds. Spezza, his seventh of the season, ties the game at one apiece. It was a wrist shot from the high slot. Roman Josi backed off, perhaps even deflected the puck just a little bit, and it beats Pekarinen. We have a tie game in Dallas. 7:49. Ham Hughes shot on the doorstep is stopped by Hudobin. I don't know. Anyone else might have scored on this one. Hudobin comes up absolutely huge, and Ham Hughes hangs his head for missing this golden opportunity. 9:03, Forsberg shot off the rush, stopped by Hudobin. 9:55, Sissons rebound jam off of a Fiala wraparound attempt, also stopped by Hudobin. The Nashville Predators just pouring the shots on net here in the second period. And at 10:57, Rocco Grimaldi, he's got the team smiling with his fifth goal of the season. Predators take a 2-1 lead in Dallas. Hartman's pass springs Grimaldi for a breakaway. He hits the brakes and tucks the puck into the empty net. Absolutely great effort. Hartman made a great pass. Grimaldi, excellent receiving the pass, and then everything else he did is everything else that Cody McLeod cannot possibly do. Nashville Predators a 2-1 lead in Dallas. 11:25, Forsberg, the lacrosse attempt. He goes behind the net. He scoops it up on the blade. He tries to tuck it just under the crossbar. Hudobin, you got to give the guy stick taps here. He tracked that play behind the net. He saw that it was coming, and he was able to maintain his positioning and his integrity on the post and prevent Philip Forsberg from absolutely breaking the internet with the lacrosse attempt. He's going to score on that attempt at some point in time, and it will absolutely melt the entire NHL. 15:44, Ham Hughes is going to the box. 2 minutes for hooking, and the Dallas Stars are picking up a power play goal by Lindell. Hits a wrist shot from the top of the circle. It goes off the post, and it's in. There was some talk for a moment about reviewing this, but it was not challenged. Tie game, 2-2. 17:55, Sagan's got his 25th of the season, and Dallas very quickly has a 3-2 lead on home ice. Chaos all over the Nashville Predators' net. After the initial shot hit the side of the net, then it goes behind the net. Everybody is struggling for positioning, and Sagan is finishing, as you would expect the goal scorer that he is. Nashville Predators punch right back with Philip Forsberg's 21st. Hard on the forecheck. He gets the puck around the wall. It gets out to the point. Ellis shoots it. Forsberg works the rebound, kicks it to the stick, and puts it in with the backhand right on the doorstep. Philip Forsberg working the jam in front of the net. He's got 21 on the season, and we've got a tie game. And what a wild close to the second period as Pekarinen makes one more save with 17 seconds to go on Janmark in close. We end the second period with the Preds now out shooting Dallas 34-26. One hell of a period there and a ton of scoring chances. Go to the third period. 1:03. Spets is going to the box. 2 minutes for slashing. Unfortunately, the worst power play in the league can't generate anything on the road right here in a tie game at 3:31. Pekarinen has to make two saves on Alexander Radulov from in close. At 4:37, Pekarinen has to make a save on Janmark's wraparound attempt. The save was made way more dramatic because Pekarinen took himself out of position on the initial drive to the net before Janmark recognized it, took it behind the net, and it was actually great recognition by Janmark and the incredible athleticism of Pekarinen to be able to overcome getting out of position. Highlight reel save at the end of it, but Pekarinen is the one who made this look more dramatic than necessary. At 5:53, Heiskanen's going to the box, 2 minutes for interference, but Hartman's also going to the box. He's got 2 minutes for selling, and we've got a 4-on-4. 7:35, Roman Josi, he's got the Nashville Predators back on top, 4-3. Turris leaves the puck for Josi right along the half wall. Josi picks it up, takes it around the net, curls all the way out into the slot, rips the shot, it goes off the D, and it trickles by Hudobin. It doesn't matter how it gets in, it just matters that it does. Josi, the captain of the Nashville Predators, with his 12th of the season, and the Predators with a one-goal lead on the road in Dallas. 14-30. 6:30. The Stars, strong pressure for a 35-second shift. Multiple shots, though, completely missing the net. They are just simply whiffing on their shots. 17:03, Ekholm's shot is stopped by Hudobin at 18:10. Rene makes a big save on Sagan. We hit the empty net for the Dallas Stars on the offensive zone draw. 19:07, Yarncroak, huge shot block on Klingberg. He had a great look at it right there. And at 19:29, the captain gets the empty net goal. Now his 13th second of the period. It was from deep in the D zone, and the Preds needed the clear, and they needed this finish. 5-3 is your final, and the Preds outshoot the Dallas Stars 47-39. An excellent road win against a possible first-round playoff opponent in the Dallas Stars. It was a night where Pekka-Rinne wasn't spectacular. He was good enough, though, and the team overall played better defense, was more physically and more emotionally engaged in this game than we have seen. Certainly way better than anything that we saw in the game in Vegas. And in the third period, the captain of the Nashville Predators, he led his team, as you would hope and expect the captain of the team would do. An all-star, he went out there, and he got the job done, picking up two goals in the third period. This is an excellent win for the Nashville Predators, and now they have an opportunity to come home, and they have a week to tune up. The Predators have been consistently playing down to competition this entire season, but as of now, there's 20 games to go in the season, and you have L.A., Colorado, and Edmonton. All the Preds need to do is look at the scoreboard from last night and realize one of the worst teams in the Central blew out the Winnipeg Jets and know that they have to take all three of these games very seriously. I expect the Nashville Predators to tune up whatever's wrong with them this week, get themselves ready to go, get through the trade deadline, and then make that run at the Central Division number one spot, and then get yourself set for a playoff run. With 20 games to go in the season, everything changes. Everything gets a whole lot more serious. And Predneck Nation, I need each and every one of you renegades of puck in the trench with us. Mastrodamas will be here in the second period. Felder in the third period. You know you can always give us a like on Facebook, a follow on Twitter. You can always check us out at PredneckNation.com. If you're not listening live at 5 on game days or to the encore presentations at 6 on Nashville Sports Radio, you can always go to SoundCloud or iTunes and get the best game day breakdown of the Nashville Predators. We have opinions. We have information. We have analysis. We're not afraid to go to the hard areas and bring you exactly the talk that you're looking for. Nashville Predators talk 100% right here on Predneck Nation Radio on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm your host and your captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier, and you are listening to Predneck Nation Radio.
This is Philip Forsberg of the Nashville Predators. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio.
Welcome back in Predneck Nation Radio. Philip Forsberg bringing us back from break right there. 45 games played on the season, 21 goals and 17 assists. That's good for 38 points. And he almost broke the entirety of the internet the other night with one hell of a goal-scoring attempt. And when it does finally go for him, because it is at some point, because he is without a doubt the most creative goal scorer the Nashville Predators have ever had, and everything he does out there is completely intentional and on purpose. Some guys stumble and bumble into some highlight reel goals or get a lucky bounce here or a break there. Philip Forsberg is always working, always thinking, and regardless of how many competition or defensemen are in front of him, he seems to find a way to either go through their legs or through his skates or over the tops of their heads, or maybe even gets a lacrosse attempt at it. But Philip Forsberg, without a doubt, the most high-skilled goal scorer the Nashville Predators have ever had, and I cannot wait to see what he does over the rest of February. Predneck Nation Radio, I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonnier. Welcome back in, PredneckNation.com. Twitter, Facebook, all of that stuff, iTunes, SoundCloud, when you can't listen live on game days. We've got live shows on 5 a.m. on all game days and 6 p.m. replays when available in the schedule. Here to talk to me, as he does in the second period of all episodes of Predneck Nation Radio, as the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation Radio, a man so far ahead in the future, he's going to tell you everything that's going to happen tonight at Bridgestone Arena. On Twitter at GreekGoalie35, he is, of course, Mastrodamas. Pekka-Rinne the other night, Mastrodamas 36 out of 39. He gave up three goals against. Overall, this was not his cleanest game. The team did a good job bailing him out. I felt that he had some positioning issues and maybe made some saves throughout the game a little bit more dramatic because of his own doing.
Pecorine, it seems like it was circa 2013, 2014 with Rene. Just being overly aggressive on the angles. When guys skate in, they come in at a sharp angle, you see him kind of fade out of his net a little bit and take himself out of position. Worst thing to do right now as a goaltender is to get out of your crease on the side over there like that. I'm sure Ben Vanderklok will be talking to him and has talked to him since the other night, because that was one of Rene's issues under Mitch Korn, was that he would just draw himself out of his crease a little bit too much when guys are on in the rush like that. And we saw just a fantastic save, recovery save, that he made on that wraparound, but didn't really need to be that dramatic or that, you know, display his athleticism that much. He was a good 2 feet out of his net and had to sprawl across to make that toe save. But not his cleanest game, but all accounts right now, the Preds actually get a victory in Dallas. He hasn't won in Dallas in 4.5 years, so you take the victories. I don't know if it's the optics in that arena or what, but he's always struggled in Dallas, but good for him to actually get a victory there.
No doubt about his world-class athleticism, and he made the saves he needed to make. When you look at the stats, it looks probably more impressive than the performance overall was, but that's why, Mastrodamus, you don't just look at stats. The team did a great job in front of Pecorine the other night. All season long, they have been soft, especially around the net. I felt that the D was doing a good job not only breaking up passes, blocking shots, but also helping keep the Dallas Stars out of high danger once Pecorine was able to make the first save. For the most part, I thought this was one of the better games that the team has played as far as team defense in front of their goaltender in a long time.
He didn't have to be fantastic. I mean, he faced 39 shots, but again, we talk about it all the time. What were the quality of chances that Dallas got? Rene wasn't fantastic, didn't have to be. And what I noticed especially after Roman Josi gave them the lead, they played that defense that we've loved to see last season and during their playoff run, where that 1-3-1, every time somebody tried to dangle their way into the zone, there was one guy. Oh, you got past him. Here's a second guy. Here's a third guy. They couldn't just retain possession of the puck. They had to play dump and chase, and that's not what Dallas was doing. They kind of played right into the Preds' hands right there, and every time they tried to do that, they would turn the puck over. Preds knocked it out of there again. Didn't get a whole lot of chances when they had the lead, but they played solid team defense. They funneled everything to the outside. That's one thing I've harped on, is that force everything to the outside and you're not going to give up those high danger chances. So that's something they did incredibly well, particularly in that third period.
Once they got the lead, it became a relatively low event rest of the third period compared to what we saw in the first two periods. Let's go over a couple of individual performances real quick. We know Brian Boyle was brought here to be a nice piece over the rest of the season and into the playoffs. One shift, I found it absolutely inspiring, Mastrodamus. He crushes Sagan behind the net in the defensive zone. He gets on his horse. He goes as hard as he can length of the ice and gets to the front of the net just in time, as the hockey gods always tell you, to jam that rebound into the net and get to goal. You talk about a full 200-foot shift. It was simply inspiring. And Boyle, for the game, now this is his second goal as a Nashville Predator, 2 shots on goal, 6 hits credited, 14:42 in time on ice. I like watching him play, Greg.
He's the type of guy Preds needed. They needed that size up front, that physicality that they've been missing. Not from a Cody McLeod, by the way, a guy that can actually play hockey out there. Brian Boyle, you know, like you said, puts Sagan into his place behind the net. Sagan selling like he's in WWE over there, just curling up in a fetal position, looking for a call. It didn't happen. Suddenly it's 5-on-3 the other way. Yes, the power play did, and it was on a rush. But Boyle skates all the way back down there. He's not the fleetest of foot, but he gets there in time to see that juicy rebound right there and tuck it home. You'd need stuff like that to happen. It was a great, inspiring goal by him to play full 200 feet. Watching Brian Boyle play, that veteran leadership that I think this team is sorely lacking, big time on display against Dallas.
It showed a whole lot of guys that are a whole lot younger what you can do when you commit to playing a full 200-foot game during a shift. And Brian Boyle also, one of the other additions to this team besides what he's been doing on the ice. His interviews, Greg, are just absolutely fantastic, and I know several people have noted it throughout Twitter, but he definitely has a future if he wants to in broadcasting or doing any type of analysis around the sport of hockey, because his interviews are tremendous.
No doubt about it. And, of course, the background with him, of course, was surviving cancer and coming back to be in the NHL and playing at this kind of level that he's playing at this season. The guy can flat-out talk, and he doesn't know how to break down a game. So definitely look forward to him in the next couple of years to take on that role.
It's been an excellent addition so far, and I've really enjoyed it. I look forward to seeing what David Poile is going to do here in the next week. Let's talk about Philip Forsberg and his attempt to completely break the internet the other night. And Mastrodamus, he's going to connect on this thing at some point. He wheels behind the net, he scoops it up on the blade, and he goes with the lacrosse attempt, tries to tuck it just under the crossbar. Khudobin deserves the stick taps, though, for tracking that all the way behind the net, recognizing the play, and holding his integrity to the post right there. A good play overall, but Forsberg, he just always creates something different, and it's magical to watch this player.
People are calling it the Michigan play. Well, the difference between what Forsberg is doing and what the Michigan player did back in the day was that Forsberg is skating full speed with a guy on top of him. I mean, he is out skating a person, going behind the net full speed. Going behind the net, the guy was on his backhand. I actually thought initially he picked it up on his backhand on the blade of a stick to do that. Obviously, he rolled his wrist over, got it on his forehand, and you know what? Like you said, full credit to Khudobin. That is probably the best save of the night, and it doesn't look flashy. It's just him being aware and following and tracking the puck. He had his eyes on Forsberg up until he was directly behind him. He could see him put the puck on his blade. He went across and got his shoulder up to stop that puck, because Forsberg could not have placed that any better. He was right in that corner, ready to tuck that in. And Khudobin, and normal circumstances, a goaltender will move right to left like that just to cover the low part of the post up against there. And he actually, you can see him, he's not the tallest goaltender out there. He actually makes himself taller, stands upright, and blocks that puck from going in. Phenomenal save by Khudobin. But again, Philip Forsberg, it's going to happen. It's going to go in the net. And the NHL and all their pundits will be talking about that for weeks.
Mastrodamus, I know Khudobin makes that big save right there, but the biggest save of all is him saving himself from becoming a wallpaper on the desktops of hockey fans across the world. That goaltender's done great against the Nashville Predators, and he was not bad in this game overall. The Nashville Predators just came out with the jam and proved that they got the depth scoring, and this is a good win on the road. You mentioned Pekka-Rinne's difficulties in winning in that building, and overall, the Preds have had difficulties with the Dallas Stars this year. What a shot. It turns out to be split right down the middle this season. And these two teams, if they got together for a best of seven, well, it would only be fitting since they're going to meet in the Winter Classic next January 1st. So the Nashville Predators, for now, are done with the Dallas Stars. Mastrodamus, let's move on. The Preds have an opportunity, 20 games to go in the season. It is a tune-up week if there ever was one. The Los Angeles Kings are in tonight. They are the worst team in the Western Conference, and you only need to look at the scoreboard from last night to know what a team at the bottom of the standings can do to a team at the top of the standings as the Colorado Avalanche dismantled the Winnipeg Jets. The Preds have played down to competition, but they cannot take the LA Kings lightly. Last time these two teams met, it was a Preds 5-3 win at Bridgestone Arena. Cal Yarncroke did all the hard work with a hat trick, and he scored one in each kind of way. Turris also was on the score sheet. Ellis with two assists. Rene had the start in that game. They'll play one more time in LA. Mastrodamus, talk to me about what the Preds need to do to not let down tonight with first place in the Central Division on the line.
I'll be quite frank with you, Charlie. I'm not terribly confident in it, despite the fact that the Kings are the worst team in the West. They're on a five-game losing streak. But we've seen this song and dance before from the Nashville Predators. Earlier this season against Vancouver, who had lost 11 of 12. They go into Vancouver and get smoked 5-1. Earlier this season, Chicago had lost 11 out of 13. Preds lose to them in regulation. They had lost to Ottawa when they were on a long losing streak. They're losing to bad teams when they're playing poorly on top of that, and the Preds find a way to end up losing. Not terribly confident. We'll have to see who starts in net for the Kings. Historically, Jonathan Quick has been terrible against the Nashville Predators throughout his career. 5-10-2 in 18 starts, .888 save percentage, goals against near 3. Back in his day, it usually was Jonathan Bernier that the Kings would throw out there against the Preds because of Quick's struggles. Tonight, if Jack Campbell plays, that'll be the first time the Preds see him in his career. So be interested to see how the Kings deploy the goaltenders tonight. But Nashville, do not let down, because you got to get some consistency going. You got 20 games left. Winnipeg's struggling. A lot of teams are struggling right now out west, aside from St. Louis and Chicago. Teams are gaining on you. You can't be sitting back. You can go from division winner very quickly to third place and not even have home ice in the first round. So They've got to find consistency, and they've got to get victories against bad teams here down the stretch. Tonight is game one of those types games.
Mostradamus, I call it a tune-up week for the Nashville Predators, but it could also be a Central Division storyline-changing week. On Twitter, at GreekGoalie35, he's a starting goaltender of Predneck Nation, and he's a man so far ahead in the future. You've heard everything that's going to happen tonight between the Preds and the LA Kings. He is, of course, Mostradamus. Thank you so much, my friend.
Charlie, my pleasure. Let's hopefully do it Saturday, barring a letdown.
Absolutely. Mostradamus right there. Felder coming up here in the third period. You are listening to Predneck Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Hi, this is Ryan Ellis of the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio.
Welcome back in Predneck Nation Radio. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonia. PredneckNation.com. Give us a like on Facebook. Give us a follow on Twitter. Ryan Ellis bringing us back from break. 62 games played on the season. 6 goals, 26 assists. That's good for 32 points. He's averaging 24-17 in time on ice per game. And the other night against the Dallas Stars on the road, Ryan Ellis was very impressive with 3 assists in that game. He was a +4 and 2 shots on goal. Here to talk to me about all things Nashville Predators hockey is, of course, the OG of hockey coverage here on Nashville Sports Radio. You can find him on Twitter at Brandon_Felder. He is, of course, Brandon Felder. How are you doing today, my friend?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm doing great. And I've got a couple of questions about some defensemen and their performances the other night, but it was really what they were getting done on the offensive side of things. We know that the Preds have had difficulties in Dallas the last couple of years going in there and getting victories. And the other night, Roman Josi in the third period, he comes up with 2 goals. One of them, yes, an empty netter. But at the end of this game, he's a +4 with 5 shots on net, 23-18 in time on ice. He gets the game-winning goal. And Brandon, I have been as critical on Roman Josi at times this season as probably anybody. But this right here, this was a captain taking his team and leading them to a victory.
Same thing for me. I've been critical of him quite a bit this particular season, but that is a game that he really kind of defined who he can be for this team when needed. And so, you know, for me, we've seen the offensive side of things. We know that he can really produce on the offensive side of things, but it's nice to see him do it in critical moments, and it's nice to see him really step up and let this team see that, you know, he's willing to dig in there. I mean, I thought his overall effort, not just on the offensive side, but on the defensive side, was better than what we normally see. I think the whole team really recognized what an important game this was and how, you know, sometimes you have to draw a line in the sand and say, okay, we've struggled against a certain team perhaps or in a certain arena, and we've got to find a way to turn things around and really kind of, you know, recognize and prove who we are. And that particular game, I think maybe the best part of it all was not only the leadership that you saw from Roman Josi, but just the fact that the team as a whole, when they got punched in the mouth and they let in 2 goals and, you know, under a minute flat, they went right back out there and, you know, Philip Forsberg scores an immediate tying goal and just showed that they were not going to be kept down at all in that particular game.
I like the response. There was more fight in this team than we've seen in a while, and it was certainly a very different game than we saw in Las Vegas on the first of these 2 games on this road trip. And you look for your leadership group to step up, and your captain's always the first one that comes to mind. Ryan Ellis, also a person that's in the leadership group, and he was outstanding. 3 assists in this game, Brandon. He was also a +4 with 2 shots on net, and I thought he was also excellent putting pucks on net, and his vision, we all know how good he can be. This was a game where he really put it all together, and this could have been a very critical moment for Ryan Ellis this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you look at last season and he didn't come to play until halfway through because of an injury, and then this season he's been there pretty much all year, and I think it's still just been a little bit of an adjustment for him, and sometimes you just never understand why those things occur. They just do. Players just get in little mini slumps, but nights like the other night will definitely help a player with his confidence, and we forget how much confidence is a huge part of this game. And, you know, look, everybody has skill, and the margins of error are very thin, and the difference between being an incredible talent and an AHL talent are, you know, consistency and confidence, in my opinion. And so I think Ryan Ellis you know, that pair in particular just had a really good night. They took advantage of their matchups, and that's exactly what you have to do. And I think what the biggest thing is being able to build off of it. So great night on that particular night, now build off of it. You don't have to match your exact point totals and things of that nature, but you just have to come back out with that same type of effort, that same type of sharpness, that same mental awareness of what's going on. And don't get comfortable with, okay, well, we might be on home ice. Don't get comfortable with things like that. Continue to do the things that are made you successful in recent days and just see where it goes from there. So I'm looking forward to seeing where Ryan Ellis and Roman Josi head here in these next few games.
It is an opportunity for this Nashville Predators team to change the narrative in the Central Division. It's the potential for a tune-up week, 20 games to go in the season. We know that the Predators have played down to competition, but they have an opportunity with the LA Kings, the Colorado Avalanche, and the Edmonton Oilers coming in here this week to not only get themselves tuned up and ready for the last run of the season post-trade deadline and some big-time division games coming up, but they've also got an opportunity to flip the script right here, move into first place against the Winnipeg Jets and start putting more pressure on the Jets. And it's been a while since Winnipeg's had their door knocked on like this. So for the Nashville Predators, this is a huge week of hockey. LA, Colorado, Edmonton, all at Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah, and LA and Edmonton in particular are the really big matchups that you've got to get your 2 points against each of those. Colorado has actually started to play well again, and so they've come back around. Their goaltending has come back around, so they're going to be a much more of a taller task than the other two should be. But as we've seen throughout the year, you know, like you said, don't play down to your competition. Play your game and impose your will on those particular opponents. You know, I think the biggest thing at the end of the day is if I'm the coaching staff, I'm letting these players know, like, hey, yeah, that the Central Division leader is in sight. But let's also remember last season, and more than anything, let's try and find what is our peak level. What is the way that we can play as a team when we're healthy, and really be at our peak performances? Because I don't think we've seen that outside of the very beginning of the season. The beginning of the season, it was definitely peak level, but they haven't reached that kind of mountaintop again since then. So really trying to challenge them as a team. Hey, let's not focus on are we in first or second or third in the Central Division. Let's focus on what can we do as a team, and can we find a way to get back to that peak level with the roster as it currently is, and truthfully with players who are not 100% healthy, but playing through some of it as well.
We heard that after the game in Vegas, there was a meeting with the team. There were a lot of words spoken, and the effort that we saw coming out in Dallas was certainly more impressive. Hopefully, that was the beginning of really good things to come for this Nashville Predators team. Like I said, they've got an opportunity this week to pick up a significant amount of points against lesser competition before going on the road and facing off against a couple of potential first-round or future playoff matchups and opponents in the Central Division. So it is a great time to be watching hockey, watching the NHL, 20 games to go in the season. Everything changes, the entire attitude, the tone, and then the trade deadline will hit. And then, Brandon, it is a sprint to the finish before we all hang and live day to day for 2 full months going into the summer. It truly is one of the most fun times to watch hockey.
It really is. And, you know, if we get through the winter months, and then that's when things really ramp up for the NHL. And so this is the part that, you know, you kind of, after the first month of the season, for those of us that have been watching hockey for a long time, trade deadline and the games after that are where you really start getting really focused and tuned in to see, okay, what kind of a team is going to be going into the playoffs for each team, really, and throughout the NHL. And so this is a chance, like you said, build some points, figure out where you're at in the standings, but most importantly, find some consistency in your game and find what you're going to need to bring every single night to have success and to really ramp things up and move into, you know, the final months before the playoffs, so that you can really be tuned up and ready for what is going to be, I think, some of the most incredible first-round matchups in the entire NHL history.
Brandon Felder, he is the OG of hockey coverage here on Nashville Sports Radio, going all the way back to his days on Hockey Buzz Radio. You can find him on Twitter at Brandon_Felder. He's always up for the conversation, any interaction, and never afraid to bring an opinion right here to the third period of Predneck Nation Radio. Brandon, I look forward to talking to you next week and figuring out exactly where the Nashville Predators are concerning the trade deadline and what could possibly be some new acquisitions.
Thank you, Charlie. Everybody enjoy your hockey tonight. And also congrats to Nashville on the official announcement of your MLS club and their team name and logo and all that. And look forward to seeing what they're going to bring next season as well.
Love the sports landscape here of Middle Tennessee and looking forward to being a big part of what Brandon was just talking about. Maybe even starting a radio show around that franchise. You never know. I sure do love talking, don't I? And I sure do love covering sports. So we'll see what happens. But this radio station hopes to be involved with that particular team as well. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonia. Thank you so much, Predneck Nation Radio. Each and every one of you renegades of puck, remember, it's an easy application process. Check off a couple of boxes. You got fire, you got fury, you got passion for pucks, you love the glorious game of hockey. Well, then I know you are, in fact, certified a renegade of puck. Pick up your helmet, tie your boots tight, and get on in this trench with us. Live at 5 each and every game day. Encore presentations at 6 in an on-demand world, because we know you're incredibly busy. SoundCloud and iTunes, just search Predneck Nation. Remember, PredneckNation.com is how you get information about the show. And you can always give us a like on Facebook, give us a follow on Twitter at Predneck Nation. Mastrodamus in the second period, Felder in the third period, and you know me. I'm your host and your captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier. It's the wild time of year in the NHL. It's the trade deadline coming up, then the run to the playoffs, and then that magical two-month tournament that ends with one Stanley Cup champion. Watch out, players that aren't in games, late scratches, bad tweets from misspelled names. Watch out for all these types of things. There's a lot going on out there around hockey. It's an incredibly exciting time of year. I'm your host, Captain Crazy Charlie Sonny. Thank you so much for listening to Predneck Nation Radio. We're heading on over to Vanderbilt basketball right now with Howlin' Mad Charlie Matos on the call. Thanks so much for listening, each and every one of you renegades. We'll see you back here on Saturday.